First John is fairly straightforward. The general MO, the general MO of First John is to set up a series of contrasting things, right? Light, dark, love, hate, things like that. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to explore the book of First John in those contrasts, all right? So if you would, let's start and let's read the whole beginning to First John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which you have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our, or your, depending on your translation, joy may be complete. What other book of the New Testament begins thematically like this book? A lot of overlaps. What's that? The Gospel of John, right? It starts in the beginning, all right? And what's the big subject? The Word was with God, and the Word was made manifest, right? The Word became a physical human being, and that's exactly what he's saying here. Of course, what he's also doing here is, as you see in the Gospel of John, is he's talking about his own experience, right? He isn't just talking about some secondary experience that he heard someone say. He's like, I was there, all right? The Word became manifest, or in this case, he doesn't quite use that language. Verse 1 there, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. It's touched, right? I've seen him. I've touched him. He was indeed a physical thing. And we do see Word here, Word of life as well. And the life was made manifest. And this is exactly what John says at the beginning of its gospel. Okay? So very similar. Same writer, similar beginning, similar themes. Now, one thing that you noticed if you read the Gospel of John is you will see lots of contrast in the Gospel of John as well. And so that's very much what he does here. That's what he does even more densely here in 1 John. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through the first few chapters, and I'm going to point out the contrast. Now, there are implicit contrasts, and there are explicit contrasts. I want to focus on the explicit contrast. An implicit contrast would be something like me saying this. You should maintain purity in your marriage. Okay? Your brain is automatically, I hope, forming the other side of that without me saying it. That's an implicit contrast in a way. I say one thing, your brain is already supplying the opposite of, okay, what does it mean to be pure? That means to not do X, all right? It's not what we're going to be focusing on here in John. We're going to be focusing on where he says there is this and there is this, all right? And he's often setting them as complete contrast, right? You're either this or you're that. This is black and white John. You are either obedient or you are disobedient, all right? You are either loving or you are not. There is some room for fudging in this book, all right? But not a lot. Let's look here at the beginning at one of those places where it's okay, where he recognizes there's some overlap, and it's not always one or the other. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him to proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And here we get our first contrast, light and dark, something super common in the Gospel of John as well. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. Not, well, we're close to the truth, or we're close. No, we're just lying, right? It's very distinct. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So his general contrast is this: you walk in the light, you walk in the darkness. All right? But it's not so bleak in that if you ever don't walk in the light, it's all over for you. Right? This is where he does say there's a way to solve it, right? And that is through repentance. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or in chapter 2, but if anyone does sin, all right, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, if anyone says they haven't sinned, they are a liar. They're not just, it's not a white lie. No, they are a liar. He is drawing very, very strong contrast. So that first one is there in verse 5, 1-5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced and proclaimed to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. There is light, there is darkness. And very similar to that, there is obedience and there is disobedience. There is righteousness and there is unrighteousness or sin. Verse 2, 3, and 4. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. All right, that's one side. Verse 4. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. All right, contrast. There's the one who does obey, and then there's the one who says he obeys, but doesn't. All right? There is no middle ground. There's one or the other. By this we know that we are in him, verse 5, now verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. All right? So we see these contrasts. And they very much overlap throughout this whole book. They are very much going to overlap. He's essentially creating two different groups of people. Okay? And even though there is theoretically the chance of overlap, that's not how he's drawing his pictures. Okay? Someone can be in light, or they can be in the dark. They can do good, or they can sin. Now, if one of these people does sin, you get back into this group by repentance. But this is how he's drawing his picture. Because we need to look at it this way. We need to look at it as two strict opposing sides. There is no happy middle ground where you can sort of ride the fence. He doesn't present it that way at all. Two sides. Light and dark. Good. Goodness. Righteousness. Or sin. Now look at 9 and 10. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. But whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. What's the contrast here? It continues with light and dark, but adds love and hate. Right? Love and hate. Verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's our contrast? Love Father. And what? love world. Now, we just talked about love and hate. What's the difference in the previous love and hate in verses 9 and 10? It's different. Love of brother versus hate of brother. Of course, he's not talking about your siblings, physically speaking, right? Though that will often apply. This is talking about your brother in Christ. Okay? So love. Love of the brother, love of the father. Or hate of the brother and hate of the father. All right. Let's see what else we got. Let's look at verse 19. Let's start at 18. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. No, that's not the Pope, per se. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they were not, are not of us. What's our two contrast? Or our one contrast, the two sides.
Those who remain and those who depart.
There's remain / of us, and we have depart. Not of us. Okay? This is a very practical thing, right? John is helping them to define what it means to be a Christian, to be in the faith, and helping them explain what happens when things seem to change for people. If they're at some point with you, but at some point they leave. For whatever reason, because they want to avoid persecution, or social pressure, or doctrinally they err. What's his explanation? They were not of us. It is part of God's sovereignty, all right, that they depart. All right, that's what he wants, right? That's how we view church discipline, I think. Because we view it as not only our responsibility, but also very important to separate those that are obviously goats from the sheep, right? Because you don't want those, all right? You do not want those who are trying to corrupt the sheep. Sometimes church discipline is necessary. Of course, this may not always be church discipline. A lot of this time is probably going to be voluntary. And from John's perspective, them leaving is not bad. Their leaving is good and appropriate because they are not of us. Bad for them, but ultimately, in many ways, good for the church. All right? 23. What's your contrast there? No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Doesn't that sound like the Gospel of John? Right? If you've seen me. Right? So what's our contrast here? Confess versus deny, right? Confess versus deny. Okay? Three, seven and eight. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. But this it is evident who are the children of God, and who are children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. What's the fundamental contrast here? You've got two. If you look in terms of spiritual fatherhood, you've got God as Father. Terrible handwriting. Versus the devil as Father. What's your other contrast? Right. It's practice. What do you practice? Are you practicing righteousness? Or are you practicing what? All right. What's your life like? Is it a life of unrighteousness? Then you belong in this group. Is it a life of righteousness? Then you belong in this group. Now, it does throw in the end, nor is the one who does not love his brother, going back to a previous contrast, but that's not really the focus here. All right, let's look at 3:16 through 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. What's our contrast?
I think it's walk versus talk.
Mm-hmm. Walk versus talk, or actuality versus what you're trying to present. Okay? Now what I want you to do, individually, maybe if you need help from somebody else, it's fine. What I want you to do is I want you to read chapter 4. Okay? There are a number of contrasts here in chapter 4. Find all the explicit contrast. I will give you 7 minutes. Find all the explicit contrast. First person I'm going to call on is Jonathan. So, give him warning.
Thanks for all the pressure, Dad.
Thank you. done. But how many did you miss? Mm-hmm. 3 minutes. Okay. Jonathan, what's our first contrast?
Verses 2-3.
Verses 2-3. By this you know that the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Okay. Anybody have a contrast before that?
The spirit that's from God versus the false prophet.
Right. And so you've got there in verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets. He doesn't quite say it was an A versus B, but it's clearly a contrast here. All right. Now, imagine you're John, and most people put this very late in his life, and John lived very, very long. So this could be like the 90s AD or something like that, right? You are an apostle, all right? And you've got a lot of people running around that are, you know, in your group, love the brother, love the father, obedient. But there are some that are going around and saying other things, right? And one of the other things that they seem to be saying here is that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, that there wasn't actually a physical person named Jesus. And so what he's saying is, all right, whenever A spirit, test the spirits. What does it mean? Well, it means test the prophets, right? If a prophet comes to you and they say that Jesus did not come in the flesh, it's a false spirit. It's a false prophet, all right? So we have that one. Verse 1, false spirit versus true spirit, right? False spirit being in a false prophet. And then verses 2 and 3, this is how you test it, all right? In the flesh or not? Did Jesus come in the flesh? The answer is yes. Okay. Maybe they're a true prophet. If they say no, then clearly they are not. All right. Let's see. Elliot, what's the next contrast?
4:6.
Okay. What's that one?
We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen.
That's right. What's the contrast that comes before that? There's another one.
Verse 5. Those are from God and those are of the world.
So they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. All right, so it's them versus us. All right. What's the contrast before that?
Verses 4 through 6. 4.
Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. All right? There is, part of it, it's the you versus them, but it's also the, what's the contrast? It's God versus Satan. All right? There is God versus he who is in the world. That's an explicit contrast. Okay, after verse 6, what's another contrast?
7.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. All right, so the contrast is love versus not love. All right, now before we move on, go back to verse 6 real quick. All right, I just want to point something out here. Nope, not that verse yet. We'll get there in a second. What's our next contrast? After 7 and 8.
Born of God, not born of God.
Anybody have a verse?
That was 7.
Born of God. Mm-hmm. Does not know God. The contrast is there is born of God versus no God, but that's clearly a contrast, right? What do we have after verse 8? So you got a 9 and 10. What's the contrast in 9 and 10? That, I think, is an implicit contrast because it just talks about those who do know the love of God, right? It's an implicit, and it's one that's been all over this book. Now, Chip mentioned 17 and 18. Is there anything before then? Before we go there, look at verse 12. All right, this statement. No one has ever seen God. Where does that show up? Do I know?
Words of Jesus.
I don't think so. It's words about Jesus. John. It isn't John chapter 1. It's about Jesus. It says, let's look there. There's so much kinship between these books. I don't think John says it. Oh, Jesus says it. Let's see. Jesus might have said it elsewhere as well. Verse 17, for the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known, right? And so for the Gospel of John, no one has ever seen God. But the one who came from God, the Word of God that was made flesh, he has made him known. If we bring this back to 1 John, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. All right? So it's through the Son that we know the Father, but through love of one another, we recognize at that point, by seeing that, all right, that God abides in us. That what Jesus came to do did actually work. It is active in his people. Let's go to 17 and 18. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. What's our contrast? Fear. Lack of confidence versus confidence, fear versus love. All right? Now, if we have true love, then we have true confidence, is what he's saying. All right, what's our next contrast?
Verses 20 through 21.
Verses 20 through 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Going back to that same theme we were just talking about, of not seeing or not seeing God, all right? And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Okay? The contrast is love the brother or hate the brother. Once again, not so much earthly siblings, but the church. As he says, when he talks about children and siblings, he is often talking about, of course, the church. And of course, that language, look, if you turn to chapter 2, verse 12, you'll see more of this family language. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So those are the contrasts. At least those are the only ones I found in chapter 4. Chapter 5, you've got a few more. You've got in verse 10, 5:10, you've got believe or not believe. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. All right? Contrast. Those who believe the Son and those who do not believe the Son. Verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. So there is a sin that leads to death, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. That would be an interesting discussion. Verse 19, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Okay? That's not quite drawn out sometimes in some way as he draws out a contrast in other places, but there's clearly a contrast. There's from God, and then there is the whole world. And so, as you can see, this book, right? I think whenever you approach the Epistle of John, you have to constantly look for these very explicit contrasts. You'll see it in John as well, But here it is condensed, right? Lots and lots of contrast condensed into a small thing. And what he's trying to do is he is very much trying to set up an idea of you're in or you're out. All right? There's no friendship with the world kind of thing. You're in or you're out. You love or you don't. You're from God or you're from the devil. You're obedient or you're disobedient. If you're disobedient, there's ways to fix it. But still, you're obedient or you're disobedient. Big contrast. That's what the book's trying to do. Call people to arms, to be serious. All right? Don't straddle the fence. There's no place for that. You're in or you're out. Pick one. All right? Pick one and go for it. That's the Epistle of John. Any questions?
2:20. Someone who believes in universal atonements, with Jeff on this.
Yep.
He is a atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only ours, but the sins of the whole world.
Yep. I think it's very much like what we see elsewhere in the New Testament. It's a statement not so much of this sacrifice is effective for everything, but it's what sacrifice is there available for us? Well, there's one sacrifice, and it's available for the whole world. All right? It's Jesus. He is that one sacrifice, meaning Jew and Gentile. There's not a separate sacrifice for the Romans or a separate sacrifice for the Greeks or for the Parthians. That's too early for them. For the Persians, right? It's not separate sacrifices. There's one sacrifice for the whole world. Any other questions or thoughts? All right, we are out of time. What we will do next is we're going to have a study of Revelation. I'm not going to survey Revelation. I'm not sure I'm capable of doing that. So we're going to take a little bit more time and work through it. To prepare for Revelation, I would recommend, at the very least, studying up on Deuteronomy and Ezekiel. You will find a great deal of overlap between those two books and the book of Revelation. So if you would, go ahead and start reading those. Read Revelation, read Ezekiel, read Deuteronomy. Think about these books. I know that is a lot to read. So read it in the next 2 weeks, not just the next week. Right? It's only a good 80 or 90 chapters. You can totally do it. We can read a novel that quickly. We can totally do that. With Deuteronomy, Ezekiel, and Revelation. No other questions? Thoughts? Okay. Well, let's dismiss. Spend a little time in fellowship before we go next door. Chip, you please pray for us.